Well, for the message today, if you would, turn to the book of Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Of late, we have all had the opportunity to watch the Winter Olympics. As you enjoy the spirit of competition with an international flavor, take note of the high quality of the athletes. By that I mean, though one may have a gold medal, one the silver, and another the bronze, often there is very little that separates them. I've noticed the distinction between them may be hundredths of a second or a few hundredths of a point. And frankly, my friend, a tenth of a second is not very small, or not very much at all. It's a very small increment of time, let alone those speed categories that are broken down to thousandths of a second. For example, Svendal from Norway took the gold medal in the men's Super G. Bodie Miller from the USA was trailing the gold winner by 28 hundredths of a second. And he held off the other American, Andrew Weibrich, by the narrow margin of 3 hundredths of a second. That just is not much time, is it? Last night we were watching the speed skating. In the second heat, the Canadian held off the Korean by 16 thousandths of a second. Well, those small increments got me to thinking. And all it takes to make a difference is a small move here or a tremble there or perhaps a failure to push at the exact time needed. Not much to take note of at all, but enough to slow or excel the speed. And really, what is the difference when you lose by 3/100 of a second? Well, to these athletes, the smallest things matter. They do make a difference. And sometimes we travel through our life and we think that little things don't make any difference. We think that no one notices. No one is impacted. Therefore, why should I care about the mundane, insignificant, often neglected, usually overlooked little things in life? I would like to remind you of a verse over in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, in which the prophet declared, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" I would like to remind you that in the very least, God takes notice of the little things, and that small things matter. Do not despise small things. My objective is to encourage you to be faithful, even in the little things. My message from our text will be broken into three sections. Now, I will spend most of our time on the first with an emphasis upon little things. Now, I will mention the last two in an effort to reiterate the lesson that is found in the first. The title of my message is Little Things Matter. And I believe it's true. Little things matter. Let's pray. God in heaven, we can again come before you, and we thank you for your love toward us and what you've provided for us in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that he is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, and he alone was worthy. And you deserve all honor and glory. And so we come today to worship you in spirit and in truth, and we ask that you would just speak to our hearts through the message today. And Lord, that which you've laid upon my heart to share with your people, and I pray that you would touch every heart. And we ask if there's anyone here today who is not saved, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that they would have eternal life even today. And we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory. Lord, bless, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking, Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Three things. The first thing I want to mention unto you out of this verse is the minimal action described. Notice the first part of the passage. It says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name." The minimal action described. Now, there are several things I want to bring to your attention about that. First of all, notice the universal activity. Verse 41 says, "For whosoever." Whosoever. Do you know what whosoever means? Whosoever means whosoever. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, a universal activity. However, this text does seem to indicate that it's in regard to believers in a primary fashion because of the motive that is expressed, because it says, give a drink in my name. As a matter of fact, you look back into verse 40, there's an expression of loyalty where it says, for he that is not against us is on our part. Then he said, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. Whosoever. Yeah, certainly it has an indication, an implication, an emphasis upon believers, but it is also true for those who are unbelievers. Can those who do not believe in God actually have some respect? And it used to be that way. Lost people would still have respect and regard for those who had a belief in Jesus Christ. It's not like that so much anymore. Now you got to lock the church doors and you got to put in alarm systems and everything else. Used to be that you could leave it open, people could come in and pray and do what they wish, and you didn't have to worry about all that because they had a fear, they had a reverence, they had a regard for the things of God. Not true anymore. But it is true that some people who are lost can still do things that are decent and worthy and helpful to Christian people, even though they may not have a heart for it, even though they may not be saved. The Scripture says, whosoever, and I take whosoever to mean whosoever, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. So I see, first of all, the universal activity. But second of all, notice the Christian recipient. For whosoever shall give you. Now, specifically, he's talking to the disciples. So realize this, dear Christian friend, that as you go through life, when people do things for you, if someone should give you a cup of water in the name of the Lord, then you realize that falls under the auspices of this text. If you should recognize your actions toward other Christians, and you do so in the name of the Lord, it falls under the auspices of this text. The recipient are believers, those who are saved, those who've been born again. They once were lost, but now they're found. They were blind, but now they see. They have eternal life in Christ Jesus. They're heirs of the kingdom of God. You know, as Christians, we're just passing through this world. We're not citizens here. We have a citizenship in heaven. And so we need to keep in mind, we're just traveling through. We're passing through. We have a kingdom of God of which we partake, and one of which we will inherit when we see Jesus Christ face to face. But we're put into the kingdom, and yet when we see Him, oh, what a joy it'll be when we are changed into His image. But we're saved. We're heirs of the kingdom, and we're servants of Jesus Christ. And He said, any of you, if you receive a cup of water in my name. The recipient are the Christians. And also I want to remind you that Christians are representatives of the kingdom of God. And so there's much more that pertains to the idea of, well, they're just disciples. Well, that is true. But disciples are saved people. They're heirs of the kingdom. They represent the kingdom. And we serve Jesus Christ. And so what he says in the passage here, and all this is to bring the attention on the fact that little things matter. He says that whosoever shall give you. So we see a universal activity. We see Christian recipient. And here's the emphasis. Notice the insignificant work. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink. I put this cup up here, not that I use it. I don't like drinking when I preach with the water. When I first began in the ministry, I did, and I thought, that's just a bad habit. I just don't want to do it. And some people do, that's their business. But I put this up here because, you know what, this isn't much, is it? It's a very small cup. As a matter of fact, this is styrofoam. I didn't put a lot of water in it in case I should accidentally spill it, but there is some water in it. How difficult is it to get a cup of water? It's very insignificant. And if I should say to you, anybody want this cup of water, and you come up and I give it to you, that's not that big of a deal, is it? If someone is thirsty and you give them something to drink, that's not that big. How insignificant is it just a cup of water? You see the emphasis on the passage? He didn't say something big. He didn't say something tremendous. He didn't say something spectacular. He said, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink. To me, that is something very insignificant. That isn't much. That's a little thing, isn't it? And yet he says, this is a insignificant work, but it is noticed. It's noticed. I would like for you to look at a few references in regard to some things that are mentioned as small. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Sometimes we have the tendency to overlook small things, and we don't pay much attention to little things. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, what we find in this passage, and we notice in verse 18, the Israelites have been carried away into captivity. The Babylonians took them away, and when Babylonians were leaving Jerusalem, they decided to take some spoils with them. And when they did, they took the vessels from the house of God. And I want you to notice something here. Excuse me. Out of 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 18, that the Scripture says, "And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon." What kind of vessels did he take out of the house of God? He took them all, didn't he? Big ones, great big gold bowls, and the little tiny silver spoons, you see? He took the large vessels, he took the small vessels. He took the very expensive ones, he took the least expensive ones. But you know what? When they're in the house of God and they're the vessels of the Lord, they're all important, aren't they? The big as well as the little. And so you may be sitting here even in the service and you think, well, as a Christian, I don't really amount to much. I'm not a big Christian, as it were, as compared to some. And I'm just little and insignificant and nobody really notices me. I want you to know, as a Christian, you're important. And as a member of this body, if you're a member of this church, you're important. He took all the vessels, great and small. You can refer over to the book of Mark chapter 8 if you desire to. In the book of Mark chapter 8, there's a story of when Jesus fed the 4,000. And when he was faced with feeding this multitude of people, in verse 7 it says, in Mark chapter 8, he says, "And they had a few small fishes." It wasn't that somebody pulled up a shark they just pulled out of the Mediterranean, or some big tuna, or the whale beached themselves. No. What did he have to feed this multitude? He had a few, not even good-sized, but small fishes. Just a few small fishes. Now, we know that the Scripture is accurate, because in our generation, nobody catches small fish, do they? Brother Steve's a fisherman. Brother Paul's a fisherman. I don't know. I've never gone fishing with them. But I've not heard their stories. But you know the fishing stories in our society. Well, they catch one that's about 2 or 3 inches long, but it's a big whopper, you know, by the time it's getting towed around the house. But you know what? These were actually small fish. They were not very big at all. But yet, Jesus used them to feed a multitude. Just some small fish. Notice over to James chapter 3 for just a second. Book of James chapter 3. See, who really thought that day that those small fish would mean anything? None but the kid that had it for his lunch. Everybody else would think, well, what's that among so many? Small things made a difference. Those small vessels the Babylonians desired to carry away. Those small fish Jesus used to feed the multitude. Notice the description of another small thing in James chapter 3. And in verse 4, it says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So as the captain decides to go this way or that, that small helm in comparison to that huge ship is what controls that thing. Do little things matter? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, and James is using this as an illustration in the text in regard to our tongue and the effect that it can have. Look into verse 5. "Even so, the tongue is a little member," right? Little. In comparison to your body parts, the tongue's not very big, is it? But it says, "It's a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." The little tongue can start a little fire, which can grow into a forest fire. And it happens all the time. Little things. Now, one other place as a reference. Go back to Luke chapter 21, and then we'll come back to our text. Luke chapter 21. Do you see that I'm trying to emphasize upon you insignificant work? They're very little. They're little things. They don't seem to amount to much, but they do matter, don't they? Over in Luke chapter 21, we have one other thing, and it's the story of the widow's mite. And I just direct your attention to verse 1 through verse 4. And he looked up and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. I mean, just a couple of pennies. And he said, of a truth, notice Jesus' response, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto their offering, unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury or poverty hath cast in all the living that she had. Well, those two mites, they weren't worth very much, especially to those rich people. But they were worth a lot to the widow, and they were worth a great deal to Jesus. Not much as comparison to the things of the world. Just some change. You know, I'll tell you, a little kid coming to church, tossing the 50 cents into a Sunday school offering, and that was his allowance for the week, gives more than a whole bunch of people do on Sundays. Because the guy gives it all, and hardly anybody does that, right? So, we'll look at it. Just little things. Little things. Go back to our text, if you will, Mark chapter 9. I've entitled this first phrase of the verse, Minimal Action Described. And we see that whosoever might give to a Christian any little thing, I mean just a cup of water to drink, insignificant, often overlooked, but it's important. Now, I want you to notice the qualifying factor. This is the fourth part of this first head that we're looking at. And this thing I want you to notice is the qualifying factor. Why is it that giving a cup of water, so insignificant, could be done millions of times a day, but a cup of water given to a Christian in the name of Christ is so important? Why? The qualifying factor. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. Because of Christ. For the Lord. In His behalf, to His honor, to His glory. He says, in my name. Thousands upon thousands of cups of water are given every day, but not in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, if someone would give you a cup of water in my name, then that little insignificant work becomes a gigantic, wondrous work because it was given in my name. That's the qualifying factor. That's what makes a difference. When you think about it, when you can go over to 1 Corinthians and talk about all the things that we might be able to do if we have not love, it amounts to nothing. You know, if he says, if I give my body to be burned and I don't have love, what does it profit? My friend, we can do great and wondrous things, but if we don't do it for the Lord and in His name and for His honor and for His glory, what is it really accomplishing? Little things. Little things. Done for Jesus' sake are great things. Do you understand? Look back into Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I want you to turn over here. It's a lengthy passage we want to look at. Now keep in mind, I told you we'd spend most of our time upon this first portion of the message, and then the other two phrases in the text we'll just quickly touch on. But I'm not disproportionate to our time today. Turn to Matthew 25. Think about this qualifying factor. And what I'm going to ask you to notice as I read these verses is verse 31 down through verse 45, which is almost the end of the chapter. But as I begin to read, you're going to find a statement about a future event when there's going to be a judgment of the world and there's a separation of the nations between the right and the left, and the goats on the right, or the goats on the left, and the right, sheep are on the right-hand side. Look at it. We'll read down to verse 34 and we'll stop. I'll make a few comments and continue on. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And so God will separate the goats from the sheep, and he's going to speak to the sheep. He says, Come on into the kingdom. This is something that's been prepared for you. Now, what you're going to find in the remaining parts of the passage are two descriptions. The first description is a positive statement or a positive slant to what's being said. The other is a negative. You'll see that as we go through. But notice the positive, verse 35 through verse 40, and he's talking to the sheep, and he says, okay, you're going to enter from this kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world, verse 40 or 35. For I was hungered, notice, for I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee to drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? Good questions. His response is this, verse 40, notice the emphasis. The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Do you get the impact of that? You say, but I haven't seen the Lord, I haven't done those things, but when you've done it to the least of the brethren. And you know, when we think, well, you know, this one's greater than another, this is a better Christian, this is a stronger Christian, this is a more mature Christian, you take the least of all Christianity, and if you should do it toward that person, the least of the least, with just the minor thing, you've done it unto Jesus. You see the qualifying factor in our text. He says, if anybody shall give you a cup of water in my name, talking to Christians, if somebody should do something for you in my name, then there's great reward. The qualifying factor is in my name. And these people are saying, when did we do this? Well, when you've done it to these, you've done it to me. You know, if I go visit the sick, you know what I'm doing? It is unto the Lord. If I visit somebody in the prison, I visit as unto the Lord. Yeah, you know, when we do the things for the Lord Jesus Christ, we serve Him, follow after Him, we're doing it for His sake, for His honor, and for His glory, we're doing it as unto Him. Isn't that what the passage is telling us? So never fear, my friend, when people do things for you because of the Lord, you know what? They're doing it as unto Him. When you do things for other Christians, you do it as unto the Lord. Boy, what an encouragement. It's a minimal action that's being described here, just a cup of water. But when you give a cup of water in the name of Jesus, you give it unto Jesus, don't you? Well, notice the negative aspect, verse 41 through verse 45. Then shall he also say unto them that are on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Good questions. And what's his answer? In like vein, he says in verse 45, Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And so you have the issue of commission and the issue of omission. And he says, if you take the little, most, smallest, insignificant thing and you do it for my name's sake, for your honor, for your glory, I take note of that and you're doing it unto me. But on the contrary, flip side of that, you think about, well, if I don't do that little thing, it's not that big of a deal. But if you don't do it, then and you should have done it, then you've not done it unto Christ. And there's a recognition of the omission. Do little things matter? Oh, they do, don't they? I mean, consider, these are actions taken toward people, his people, and actions toward anyone in his service. In other words, I might do an act toward somebody that's not a Christian, but I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. God takes note of all that. God takes note of all that. Do you see the minimal action described? Go back to our text if you've gone from there, Mark chapter 9, verse 41. A very simple, mundane, everyday activity, often overlooked, nobody really cares. And he says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name." Just a little thing. Let's notice the second part of my message very quickly, and it's the second phrase of the text. Not only the minimal action described in the passage, but we find a motivation aptly declared. We've already hinted about this as we've gone through the first portion, and so we won't tarry here very long, but the motivation is aptly declared. Because you belong to Christ. Three things, very simply. You see the recipient, ye, still talking about the disciples, those who are saved, those who are in the kingdom, those who receive the water, because ye, those are the recipients. Notice the relationship, belong to Christ, because you belong to Christ. That's the relationship. And Christians belong to Christ, don't they? You see, if you're saved, Jesus lives in your heart through His Spirit. You're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a joy. We belong to Him. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are His. The recipients are those of us who are saved. The relationship is the fact that we are saved because we're known of Christ and we know Christ. But the reason is that word because. Because you belong to Christ. And so you look at that first portion and he says, "Well, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ." That's the motivation aptly declared. You want reward for what you do? Do it for the Lord. Do it for the cause of Christ. Do it in His name. Not for your own sake. Not for your own glory. Not for the pat on the back. Do it for Jesus' sake. Visit for Jesus' sake. Pray for Jesus' sake. Help for Jesus' sake. Do it for His name, for His work, for the furtherance of the gospel. Do it for Jesus. That's the motivation. And even if it be just a little cup of water, that's a big thing, isn't it? Well, notice the last part. I said I wouldn't tarry very long on that, and I'm not. Notice the last part of the verse says, "Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Notice here the momentous award discerned. He says, "For if whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Notice, first of all, the comforter. He shall not. Well, who's that refer to? That refers to the whosoever. Does that make sense? Whosoever shall give you a cup, he shall not lose his reward. He. And so this one who comforts, this one who saw you hungry and gave you food, this one who saw you thirsty and gave you drink, this one that saw you naked and gave you clothing, or saw you sick and visited you, was in prison and came and visited you, whatever it might be, in the name of Jesus, they've done something large or small. There's a comforter. You can be a comforter. I can be a comforter. I can be one to reach out and touch someone. You can be one who reaches out and touches someone in the smallest of ways that nobody will recognize, but Jesus does. Jesus does. Notice then, not just the comforter, but the compensation. It says something about a reward, His reward. You realize that when you serve the Lord and follow after Him and do the things He would like for you to do, and you do it for His sake with the right motivation, there's reward attached to that? Now, you have to be very careful, because in my way of thinking, if you do it for the reward, you have the wrong motivation and you're not going to get anything out of it. But if you do it for Jesus' sake with the knowledge that there's a reward, then that's a motivation and an encouragement, and it will help you to continue. But you do it for Jesus' sake. not for the reward. You could take or leave the reward, you do it for Jesus' sake. But you know in the back of your mind, you know what he said? I'll give you a reward. What a joy that is. What an encouragement that is. There is a compensation. But notice the last part of this, and then we'll reach a conclusion in just a second. The confidence. He says, verily. You know, verily is often used as an emphasis. Jesus will use it, and it's repeated twice. He'll go, verily, verily, I say unto thee. He just says in this passage, one verily, but that's enough. Verily, I say unto you, he shall not lose. What confidence is that, my friend? Know that if you do anything for the cause of Christ in the name of the Lord, he shall reward you, even in the little things. Now, in summary of both of these points, I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 10 if you desire to look at this, and then I'll reach a conclusion. Mark chapter 10. In verse 40 and verse 41, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You remember what I talked about in the middle portion of that verse, and it was my second point. I used the word relationship, which we knew from the first part of the verse to begin with. But it's reiterated in the second part. Because you belong to me. And he said in verse 40, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. Didn't we read in chapter 25, he says, if you do it unto the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. You know, when you receive or reject God's people, you receive or reject Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? When you aid and assist God's people, you aid and assist Jesus Christ, as it were. There's a relationship going on. But look into verse 41. It has something to do with the compensation. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. You see, our text tells us that there's the momentous award is discerned. He says, verily, I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And what is this in reference toward? Just a cup of water. Just a cup of water. Not much, is it? Not much at all. But he says, if you do it for my name's sake, you will not lose your reward. Let me say to you in conclusion just a few things. Number one, what we do for the Lord's sake is recognized by God. Whether it's great or small, whether it's toward those that are lost or toward those that are saved, anything we do for Jesus' sake, God takes notice. Number two, when we do a thing for the Lord's sake, it is as doing it unto Him. Yeah, let that sink into your heart. We noticed that a couple times. You do it for the Lord's sake. It's like doing it for Jesus. Number three, God will appropriately award our actions. Isn't that true? This one who gives you a cup in my name, he will not lose his reward. Just a small thing, but I'll reward him for it. But you know that's true about bad things too, isn't it? Do you remember a verse over there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, where it talks about even the idle word will give an account thereof? Oh, just a little thing, just a passing statement, but it wasn't much. But every idle word, man shall give an account. So do you recognize that God will appropriately award our actions? Whether they're good or bad. And I'm absolutely confident that God, when he gives reward, it will be exactly as it should be. You say, but this is just a little thing, and I won't get a little much of a reward out of that. Well, you really don't know that, do you? Have you really proven that? You say, well, somebody that does something greater will get a greater reward. Possibly. But he will reward you adequately for what you've done. Therefore, number four, do not minimize small or little things. Let me digress for just a second. Toward your spouse, just speak a kind word. Gentle touch. Toward your children, encourage. Don't browbeat them. Encourage them. Just a little thing. But you know what? Perhaps you'll do better next time. Goes a lot further than, oh man, you are horrible. Right? Just a little thing. Ah, children toward parents. Obedience. Respect. Goes a long way. Neighbors. Oh, you take out their trash for them. That's just a little thing. But my, what a blessing you can be. Rolling that trash tub to the curb. Taking it back in for them. Just a little thing. Church members, a kind word, a card, a thought, word of encouragement. You know that $5 you slip to a missionary, $5, that's not much in the scheme of things, but you give that missionary $5 that nobody knows about, God sees it. Co-workers, you can be nice to your co-workers. You can help them, you can encourage them. Little things, little things. Oh, my friend, do not minimize small things. Do not minimize little things. It's often the little things that will make the difference. And then number five, if God takes notice of small things, have you ever stopped to consider that He definitely sees the big things? I mean, if God sees just a cup of water in His name, does He see you today as you're lost and undone? Child of the devil, still in bondage, denying Him, denying the truth, rejecting Jesus Christ, spurning God's people. Oh, I know you come to the house of God today, but you're lost. You will not be saved. You think God doesn't take notice of that? He does. If He sees the little, He definitely sees those big things. And rejection of Jesus Christ is right there, isn't it? I mean, it's at the top. Do not turn Jesus away. Do not reject God. Do not deny the truth. And the last thing is this. I just want to encourage you today that little things matter. So don't give up doing them. Remember Galatians 6:9? Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't get worn out doing the little things. You know, it occurs to me that, you know, when a man and a woman are dating, you know, they do a lot of little things for each other. Often after the marriage vows are said and time passes, those little things drop by the wayside. You know what? That'll hurt a marriage. Got to stick with the little things. Got to keep those things up. Husbands, I mean, you might not like saying it, but you need to tell your wife, I love you. They like hearing it. They want to hear it. You say, well, that's just a little thing. They know I love them because I go out and work every day and I'm just bringing in the money and I'm hard on the world and I do what I can and they know I love them. They know that, but they want to hear it. That's just a little thing, but keep it up. Wives, those little things that make your husband happy. You know what? Favorite meal, something like that. Just little things. And there are ways that we can do little things. You know, there's not a one of us here today I don't think are going to run a race that a thousandth of a second is going to make any difference. In fact, it's going to take me an hour to get from here to the back door. Oh, we're not worried about thousandths of a second or hundredths of a second or even tenths of a second, are we? But we do understand that little things make a difference. Little things matter. And I'll tell you, Christian, the little things in your life really truly demonstrate your character as a Christian. Little things matter. And if you're here and you're lost, I'll tell you, you need Jesus. That's a big thing. Because without Him, you'll be in hell forever. So I point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. I appreciate your kind attention today. I'd like for us to stand, and we're going to sing a verse of invitation. If you would, turn back to number 330. Let's stand. And we're going to sing. Father, we ask that You bless Your word to our hearts today, and I pray that You overcome any frailty of my speech and take your word and apply it to every soul and just meet every need, that, Lord, for those of us who are saved, we'd be encouraged in those little things, that we would serve you and be found faithful, that we would honor you and live for you and do all of our things in our lives for Jesus' sake. And we know that you will bless. And I pray for those that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith, that they would be saved even today. And we'll be sure to give you the honor and the glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 300.